Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good morning and welcome to Prepare Radio. It's Diane Thomas, your host. And it's Saturday morning, so we are talking about, we have open lines. If you have a question or comment or feedback you want to give, feel free to call in. Otherwise, we're continuing with our series on tithing versus giving. Just to let you know, we will be scheduling our first program in our new series over on another internet radio network talk show this week. So if you want to be informed about that, be sure to go to www.wecanprepare.org and sign up for the feed burner list up in the top right-hand corner in the middle section. It's a double opt-in, so you're not going to be getting spam or anything. So it's a secure email list, and you can subscribe at any time. But this way we can let you know what the changes are that we're going to have. And really what we're going to be looking for is to be actually doing some of the practical applications about what we've been talking about. For instance, healing and getting direction from God, overcoming some enemies, determining what some wounds are and getting those healed, even to some dream interpretation or words of knowledge, whatever God wants to do at that time. So we want to be able to sort of set that aside as some small teachings and some small insights, short ones, maybe 15, 20 minutes. And then if there's interest, we're going to get into some personal ministry time. Obviously, that's going to be public, so we want to take that into consideration. But we also are thinking about maybe looking into setting up some time where there can be some private ministry time as well. And we'll be looking at that. That's going to be more intense, so that's probably going to be something we're going to look at, making there be a cost to that. So, but if you want to be kept informed on that, just sign up and we'll let you know what we're going to be doing. Just as a reminder, a lot of the things we do is different than most of what you've heard. So be prepared for that. This is not traditional churchianity. This is not something you can get a lot of different places. We do take things straight to God. We don't pass go. We don't collect $200. We go right to Him. He is the author of everything, and including the situation you're in. So He knows the solution to it. So we go straight to Him, find out what He says about your situation, and then let Him tell you how to get out of it. Our role is basically just to help, to guide, to give you some feedback, to help you come up with questions, how to test, and maybe just some feedback and insight as to how to apply what you've heard from Him. We're going to be, of course, coming from the perspective that there are three realms of reality, so if you need to review that, I encourage you to do that, but that a lot of what we ask God to do is our responsibility. And so we want to make sure that, now He's there to help us and to help guide us and direct us, but we very often push off on Him things that are our responsibility as critters that live on this earth. So we, you know, and He tells us that. This is something I want you to figure out, or you're free to choose any response. You're free to follow through in any direction you choose. And so we will be learning how to develop our own judgment as well. It should be fun. should be different, and it's going to be, there's going to be a learning curve, and we're going to be flexible. Basically, we're going to hopefully allow God to do whatever it is that he wants to do and not be concerned about doing it a certain way or the way someone else does it. But again, looking forward to it. And if you want to be kept updated on it, just sign up for the updates. What that will do is that signs you up for the blog. So anytime I post anything on the blog, you know, 4 or 5 times a week or so, maybe more, maybe less, and we may be converting some things in through the website. But anytime something's posted there, you'll receive it. So you won't have to be constantly coming back to see if there's something new. And we'll probably be putting up an RSS link as well for those of you who use the readers. So we're going to follow through on this series we're talking about on Saturdays. And we are going to keep this series going on Saturday mornings at 9 o'clock. So we've been going through tithing versus giving, what the scriptures say. For those who use the scriptures to support their either their teaching or their habit of being, you know, under the idea that in order to, or something, a duty or part of being a Christian or to get God's blessing, you have to send to your church 10% of either your net or your gross or whatever your particular belief happens to be. And hopefully by now what you've seen is that that doesn't line up with the scriptures. If that's what you're using is the scriptures, that doesn't line up with it. That in order to fulfill the law, that tithing is part of the law exclusively. And that to fulfill tithing, to use tithing as a part of your religious approach, your Christian approach, you have to fulfill all the law. And that the purpose of the law was to prove that you couldn't fulfill the law, because even if you did every aspect of it, it did not change your heart. So that brings us to, well then, what do we do? We know that the finances in church, in our lives, is a big deal. And so we want to find out that if we're not under the law and we don't tithe, what do we do? What does the New Testament, and reminder, the New Testament starts at the resurrection of Christ, not when he was born. He was born to fulfill the law and bring in grace. And he, whenever he talked about the kingdom, for instance, it was about that age of grace, which we are now in, but that he carried in himself. And until that old contract was finalized, when that old contract was concluded, the new one could come into effect. And so we are now in the new one, and the old one is concluded. It's signed, sealed, it's done, it's filed away. There was nothing wrong with it. It did what it was supposed to do. But we are now living under a new contract with God. And that contract is that he has adopted us and made us, changed our identity. We have been, when we say we're born again, what do we mean by that? We are born of spirit. We are, spirit begets spirit, like begets like. You are born of the spirit. Spirit is what God is made of. We have this whole idea that, you know, God is three-parted, whatever that means, spirit, son, and Holy Ghost. And, you know, it's fine to describe him that way, but we don't want to limit what God is according to our understanding. And at some point in time, we may get into some of the ideas we just want to be open to, that just as when we talk about ourselves being spirit, soul, and body, those words encompass such complexity that the simplicity of it can be deceiving, and we don't want to be deceived. So the big thing is we don't want to be afraid of being deceived. So we, if God starts to lead us in an area, put out some new ideas. We don't want to be afraid of going with God. We want to have the confidence that we're hearing him, that we can take what he is saying and apply it and be joined in the process with him. So it's not just following guidelines or a book or a teaching and going from one teaching to another or one movement or to another. So it seems so often that these different movements, their goal is to be able to stand on that edge of a razor, that the quote-unquote perfect will of God is so difficult that it takes all your energy and effort, and if you slip at all, you get hurt. If you don't do whatever it is perfectly, you get hurt. Something happens, and it's your fault because you were not able to stay on the straight and narrow on that razor's edge. So we want to get off that. That's not God. That's our way of controlling and bringing God's life into our control by trying to narrow it down to this is what God expects me to do. If I do it, everything will be okay. I will please him and I will receive his blessing. But relationships aren't like that. And that's what God paid for it with you. So remember, your spirit is already one in him. It's your soul and your body that are in process. So he's already pleased and satisfied with you. The hindrances that are being removed are not between you and God. They're between your soul and your spirit. So when we talk about tithing, it's a great example of how we have taken one aspect or one issue and used it to delineate how good of a Christian we are, how successful we are, why, or a way to get God to do something for us. Giving, as we get into giving is a lot harder than tithing. Because you have to choose, make decisions, hear from God. Tithing is pretty easy, isn't it? I mean, it may not be easy to be shelling out that much money, especially in a lot of people's financial situations. But when you are having to go to God to find out, okay, God, is this something you want me to contribute to? You know, that's a whole other thing. You have to know you're hearing from him because there are consequences. And these are areas where not just consequences in the negative sense, but as you start to hear from him, there's a relationship that's built there, and there are consequences to that relationship. God is a jealous God. And when we say, okay, God, I want to get to know you in this area, we are also opening that door to get to know God in whatever area he chooses. When we give him an inch, he takes a mile. Because his desire is that you would be complete, spirit, soul, and body. That all your wounds would be healed. All your physical needs would be met. That your soul and your body would be so completely united to your spirit that you would be one in you and in him. That's what Jesus' prayer was all about. Father, that they would be one, even as we are one. Well, how are they one? They're separate, sort of, maybe, whatever that means. But they're one. Likewise, you and I are going to be separate, sort of, maybe, whatever that means, but one. In him and with him. I have no idea what that's going to look like. But I do know that we're in the process. And the more we cooperate with him, the more he gets excited. The more he is enthused about what he is doing in our lives, what he is about in our lives. When we give him the opportunity to be himself, he takes it. It's like there's a, you know, he's going to throughout the world looking for those who will really listen to him. And this is all in the context of he knows exactly what's going on in each one of our lives. So it's not like he's desperate. But for those of us who are wanting that relationship with him here on this earth now, there is so much he wants to pour out. And it will seem even more to us because we've not heard these things before. When we start looking back at, well, let's just even take Jesus' examples that are written in the Bible of his, the healings, raising people from the dead, of the miracles and the signs and the wonders and the visitations and all the different things. And we go, oh, that'd be so cool. And yet he said, greater things shall you do. He didn't say, shall God do? Shall my Father do? Shall I do? Shall the Holy Spirit do? He said, greater things shall you do, because I go. So now you can do greater things. When we start realizing these things are for us to do now, to learn to do now. So the creative miracles, the changing of, you know, bringing down strongholds, all those things, that's your job. Not out of your own strength, though. And that's the problem, is we need to learn how to live as the sons God has made us to be. So that's what we're going to be doing, is finding out how to make that real in our lives. So we'll be having teachings on that. But then again, you know, when we come back to this example of the tithing, this is just a great example of how, of the distinction. When we talk about tithing, it's mathematical. You can figure out, okay, what would Jesus do? What am I supposed to do in this situation? You figure out what your paycheck was, and you divide it by 10, and you write a check, and you're done with that. You've done your duty. Now all you have to do is sit in church and let somebody talk and maybe enjoy yourself and have fellowship with your friends, go out to eat, and you've done your Christian duty. That's not fellowship. That's not relationship. So when we start talking about giving and opportunities for giving, that's when we start developing relationship with God. Giving is not responding to someone's need. A need does not constitute a call to you for giving. And we'll get into some details about how important it is to not respond just because someone has a need. And this can be the hardest thing because the goal is not to meet others' needs. The goal is to give according to God's direction and your new nature. Now remember, as a new Christian, as a new believer, as a new spirit being, your new nature is to give. For God so loved the world, he gave. Loving and giving are so closely intertwined. The basic core nature of God is to give. If you're going to be in relationship with him, the first thing you're going to have to learn to do is, and I know you were thinking I was going to say give, but it's not. It's to receive. God created your initial need so he could give and you could receive from him directly. You cannot give. You cannot love. You cannot express until you have received. That is your new nature. You first receive. That's grace. Our definition of grace is receiving unconditionally what God gives unconditionally and just saying thanks. Now, our definition of ministry is giving unconditionally what we have received unconditionally and just saying you're welcome. So it keeps us dependent on God himself. He's a real person. You know, if you have a chair sitting there, if you're driving in the seat next to you, God's sitting there. We're increasing our awareness of his presence. So this whole financial thing is so integral to our lifestyle and our relationship with other Christians that we need to understand the difference between giving because we are told to, or we want to, our heartstrings are being pulled, and in response to our new nature. Your spirit is already fully aligned with God's spirit. So there's going to be times when you don't need to ask. You can tell it's God and you give. There's other times where you're going to ask. And we're going to go through some real practical how to ask, kinds of situations, what to do about this, that, or the other thing. But this is why we've taken so long on distinguishing between tithing and giving and the freedom that comes. But with that freedom comes responsibility. And remember, whenever you have responsibility, you also have authority. Those always go hand in hand. Responsibility and authority. That's like at your job. If you're ever given a task, the responsibility to do something, but you don't have the authority to get it done, you really don't have the responsibility. There's been many a time when talking about relationships, talking about job situations where you just really, when you nail it down, you go, okay, well, you've been tasked with doing something that you don't have the authority to do. This is very often where Christians fall into the condemnation because they feel like they themselves are responsible for changing their behavior. But because they don't have the authority, because they don't know who they aren't able to do it. So they try to do it in their own strength. And that authority, God has not given you the authority to change yourself. He's doing that. That's his job. So, again, it's important. Because finances is so important to us, that's why it's so important to God. If our culture, if basically all the civilization did not revolve around money in one way, shape, or form, God wouldn't care. But because it's important to us, it's important to him. So it's important that we get it right. And once you do, it will cause conflict with others. That's something you're just going to have to learn to live with if you want to have that eternal life relationship with God now. So we're going to we talked last week about how the book of Hebrews describes that even before the law, the Levites, how the priesthood tithed to Melchizedek. Because this is one of those images and situations that are sort of throw a monkey wrench into things, but because it's kind of vague, it's sort of used by all in all different ways to justify a particular point of view and perspective. But what we look at is the priests under the law tied to Melchizedek way back when Abraham did, because they were in Abraham. But Jesus, if we are in Jesus, we are the priesthood. So we are not in Abraham. We are in Melchizedek. We did not give the tithe or the blessing or the gift. We received it. And that's hard for us to understand. But as we start seeing that God's ways are not our ways, we really begin to have our perspective changed on God's idea about giving and the value, what we're to be doing with our money and our resources. So Levi tithed to Jesus because he was in Abraham. Likewise, we receive because we are now in Christ. We're going to be looking at 1 Corinthians chapters 9 and chapter 16. And we're going to be talking about, and we'll just get started a little bit. We're going to be talking about what so often we are told the purpose of the tithing is. That if you don't give to the church, how can the church take care of those in need? If you don't give to the church, how are you supposed to support the ministry? How are they supposed to live? You know, you want to be able to support missions. You want to be able to support the ministry, the pastor, the assistant pastor, the youth pastor. You want to pay for the building, for the gas, and, you know, all the needs of the church, the building and the structure. Well, we will find out that there's actually a lot less that is required as far as support of the ministry than what we think. It's like if a vacuum cleaner salesman came to your door and was able to convince you that if you did not buy that vacuum cleaner, your carpets would be dirty. And if your carpets were dirty, you are a bad person. If they can get you to be convinced of that, you'll buy their vacuum cleaner. We want to be objective about what we're being taught. This is part of, goes back to what we're taught and what we're not taught. You are to learn to develop judgment. You are to learn to judge others' behavior. We'll get into this sometime, the distinction between judging someone's behavior and judging someone's motive. There's a critical distinction. Why someone does something is none of your business. What they do, if it affects you, is. Why they do it, no. That's between them and God. But what they do, that is your business. It's been amazing over the past couple years how many people have called in or been communicated with me about the situation that's going on in their church is about somebody stealing money. Whether it's an elder that's passing and counting the money in the back, or the pastor himself, or somebody, or the accountant, somebody's stealing money, and the church doesn't do anything, and there's stress and controversy about what they're supposed to do. People are praying and fasting that this person will stop, give the money back, do this, that, or the other thing, because they have this confused idea about their responsibility and the distinction between judging motives and judging behaviors. Behaviors have consequences. God's going to use you as part of those consequences. Well, we didn't get very far in discussing caring for ministers and caring for those in need, but we are going to get very specific when we do get to it, so tune in next Saturday. And again, if you're want to move ahead, it's all online. So you can go to wecanprepare.org. There's a tithing button, and you can download the whole article and move forward. And that's always going to be a good idea anyway, because it is good to have it in front of you as well. So stay tuned. We'll be catching up, finishing up this series and moving on to other things, but we also have some exciting things planned for our other broadcasts. Thanks for tuning in. This has been Diane Thomas, Prepare Radio. Have a great weekend.